Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We encourage you to call in because just like yesterday, you get more Han Solo today. Bart's got off this week, so it's just me, it's just you, it's just us. And are you ready for the hysteria? You're going to say you are, but you're not. Because OTAs began today in Florham Park. The Jets all got together. And there he is, Aaron Rodgers, in his red number 8 jersey, in his shorts. And he's out there on the Jets practice facility wearing Jets gear, getting ready for his first, like, OTAs, offseason. There he is. He's really a Jet. It's really happening. And this from Diana Rossini. Aaron Rodgers is off to the side, favoring his ankle, checking it. Something clearly not right. Panic meter right now. What would you say it would be? Like, what would you say? Like, of all the tweets that you don't want to see, and, you know, like, Diana had some video. She's there, of course, for ESPN, as well as probably a gaggle of media. Did he still say gaggle? Right? A gaggle of media? Like, Dina Han, is gaggle of media like a phrase that people still use when we discuss?
When it comes to the media, yes.
It's usually a gaggle, right? Sorry. So gaggle of media. There's a lot of people there. Let's just put it that way. And she's there. We'll talk to her later this week. And so we get a great picture. There he is. He's in the end zone. They're all warming up, standing around. More video. You have Aaron Rodgers. You have Zach Wilson warming up together. Some jogging, some jumping jacks. All this stuff we're seeing. It's like, man, it's real. There he is. And then I'm talking about the very next tweet. Rodgers off to the side, favoring his ankle, checking it. Something clearly not right. Like, you just see that tweet and you're like, God, no. Really? Like, the replies on this tweet alone are special because, once again, it's Jets and this is what we do. Now, moments ago, she adds, Rodgers looks to be trying to put some weight on it while watching practice to the side. He's standing with the team's head strength and conditioning coach, not some assistant. It's the head guy. But, like, you don't want to see this. And then, just a minute, 2 minutes ago, a little video, and there goes A-Aaron back out on the field.
Where is A-Aaron right now?
Yeah, he's here. Willis Reed moment. Joining the rest of the offensive group. However, not wearing a helmet. How do we feel about this? Like this is OTAs now. Can you imagine what training camp is going to be like? Like, you know how we do this, like the first day of training camp, all the media's out there and they're keeping stats on quarterbacks and stuff, and there's not even any defense, but we just this is what we do. We get so hysterical about it. But this is different because this isn't just like just any OTAs. This is the beginning of the new Jets. This is the beginning of the new generation. This is where it all is supposed to turn, because this is where Aaron Rodgers is a Jet, right? This is like, he's the arguably most talented quarterback to ever play for this franchise. Much respect, of course, to Joe Namath. But still, the very first OTAs, he walks out there, and instead of it being this is great, look at him just throwing passes, now he is not wearing a helmet. He had a little bit, some kind of ankle thing that nobody really knows details of. We'll hear about it, I'm sure, when they're done. But this is stuff that happens. And I don't want this to happen. None of us want this to happen. Do you dare say same old Jets? You're not feeling that, are you? I'm not feeling, I don't want to feel it. I don't want to know it. I don't want to say it. But it kind of sucks. It definitely sucks.
It is my professional opinion that now is the time to panic.
Yeah, maybe not yet. But on this front, before we get to other things, again, 800-919-3776, is that beforehand, Robert Saleh did speak with the media before all this kind of stuff. And so he talked about what it's like to have Aaron Rodgers in the building.
It's been cool. You know, he's a... obviously, I joke around that he's closer to a coach than he is a player at this point in his career. He's a fantastic mind. He's a fantastic conversation. So it's been all positive.
I mean, that's what you wanted, right? All the stuff that you wanted was a guy that had obviously still the brain to play, which you know that'll never go away, physically can, and then also wants to, cares, right? Has that emotion as well. I want to play. I want to be part of this, that he said he's been invigorated since he's joined this group. And then on top of it, you have a guy that can also serve as a coach. He's going to teach. And one of the most important pupils that he's going to have is Zach Wilson.
I thought Zach had a really nice day yesterday. He's been a sponge. I think Zach has handled this as good as a professional can handle this. I'm excited for him because I think he's approaching this in a way where I think he can grow from this with the mindset at which he's approaching. And there's no doubt in my mind that Zach is going to get so much better through this experience. And I am confident that he is going to turn into the player that we know he can be.
And I think, look, this Rodgers thing could last a year. It could last 2 years. You know, at maybe it even goes three. But at most, I think if we did an over-under and I gave you like 1.5, would you take the over? Like, you figure it's going to be two. But even if it's just 1 year, what you're hoping is out of this, you are getting Zach Wilson as a better quarterback in the end of this. Like, however this ends, even if it doesn't end in a Super Bowl, if it ends with Zach Wilson just being a better quarterback and more ready for the NFL to be a starter and a leader and all the things that, you know, the potential they saw in him, that's the kind of stuff that I think is the residual effect of having a guy like Aaron Rodgers around. So it still, to me, could be a success. That's what you want. So, look, we're messing around with the tweaked ankle thing. I mean, we understand. It's like super early. I mean, it's May, all right? I'm sure everything's fine. You're going to tell me that did he twist it while just doing warm-ups? That's kind of scary. But like I said, if he's around enough to get Zach Wilson's head where it needs to be and get him ready, the Super Bowl is what you hope this turns into. That's the ultimate prize. But the investment in your future could be his impact on Zach Wilson. So that's what Robert Saleh talked about. Now, any more updates on this, we certainly will keep you updated on. I'm sure after the workouts are over, there'll be something about what the hell just happened. But he is at least back out on the field after Russini and others were saying that it looked like he was favoring his ankle and that he was trying to put some weight on it and hanging around the strength and conditioning coach. And now he's back out on the field. And the last we heard, he didn't have his helmet on. Everybody else does. But at least he's out there. This is what we're doing. Understand. Get ready for this, because all these different updates about practices and OTAs and all that stuff, just understand, this is what's coming. This is what we're doing. In the meantime, speaking of old guys, I mean, for lack of a better transition here, LeBron James yesterday said something that I think, did it come as a surprise? I'm going to say it didn't. But by the way he looked in last night's game. Now, the Lakers were swept. I think by now everybody knows that, right? Anybody listening now knows. The Lakers lost last night. They're swept. LeBron James had 40 points. He had 31 in the first half. And he was, I said 31 in the first half. Yeah, he was phenomenal. But out of that game, there was a lot of questions. You know, you were thinking, like, when this series ends, because they went down 3-0, you kind of knew this was the end. And it's like, so what... what would you expect for the future for LeBron James? And I was the one who said last week, you know, he's starting to look old. You know, he still can play, but he's starting to look old. And yeah, he had a throwback first half last night. I mean, out of his mind. Played tremendous. And then in the second half, what did we see? We saw that he ran out of gas. So understand that what we saw in the first half last night was a throwback. But that was like a full game for him, and he could only do it for a half. So you start to see, like, yeah, okay, that's the residual effect of the fact that he's 38, turning 39. And, like, you can't expect him to just keep doing this at such a high level. It's too demanding. And so is he going to go forward thinking about, I can win a championship, I can just keep playing this way, look at the run they just had? Or is he going, man, it's a lot. So this was going to be an offseason, I always thought, of him having to reflect on, is this as far as I could take it, playing at a high level, and do you want to play below standard just to keep playing? Then after the game came a report that he was contemplating his future on whether or not he wanted to play. Then he went to the podium and talked about his future.
We'll see what happens going forward. But I don't know. I got a lot to think about, to be honest. And just for me personally, going forward with the game of basketball, I got a lot to think about.
Now, Dave McMenamin, who has covered LeBron for a long time, about 9 years, he covers the Lakers for us at ESPN. He followed him after the – this is what a good reporter does, after the podium. Like, you hear something like that, and you're like, there's more to this story. Now, if you have a good enough relationship with a player, you know you kind of duck out, right? Like, everybody, all the media sits down. You dip, and you kind of follow. And then you try to, like, catch up with that player somewhere else and get a follow-up question. And so Mac was on SportsCenter and described a private conversation he had with LeBron.
I walked out of the arena with him, and I asked him, what were you trying to leave for us in terms of a breadcrumb trail? What thread should we be trying to pull when it comes to you saying you have a lot to think about? And he said, whether I want to continue to play. And I said, as in next year? He said, yeah. I said, so you would walk away? And he said, that's what I got to think about.
Walking away from the game. 39 years old, where he is right now, the all-time leading scorer in the sport's history. I mean, a guy that has played, like the minutes he has played is insane. You know, I think Zach Lowe said that he's closing in on playing the most minutes by any human being in the history of the sport. Like in a career, at the pro level. Like this is, you know, like there's a lot that he has accomplished in his career. And you reach that point where you look at him and you go, is this it? Now, we watched that first half. You're like, nah, man, this ain't it. Like look at how we played. He was so good in that first half. But that, if you didn't ask yourself at halftime, when he had 31, if you didn't say, can he really keep this up? And doubted it. Like, we all said, can he keep this up? And then in your mind, you're like, nah, there's no way he'd keep doing this. Like, you just know, at that age, it's impossible. It takes too much. And sure enough, second half, he managed 9 points. And he had some tough ones late. Honestly, like, some of those possessions, those last two possessions were rough. Jamal Murray grabbed the ball out of his hands as he drove to the basket. When the hell have you ever seen that? As strong as LeBron is, a guard just grabs the ball and doesn't let him continue. LeBron used to take the ball and the guard with him up to the rack. But in this case, he couldn't do it. So as you're watching it, you got to say to yourself, like, wow. I mean, he reached down and gave it all. Now, we'll get into the Anthony Davis stuff, part of this, because there's a huge AD component here. But the question I just want to ask is this it for LeBron? Now, we debated on Get Up. We've been talking about it. Everybody's been talking about it. Brian Windhorst knows him as better than anybody. He believes you respect his words and what he said after the game, but this was never part of the plan. Like, he's got other things that he always talked about wanting to do, including play with his son Bronny in a couple of years, and just continue to play, that he has time left on his contract. So, you know, and they were thinking about, all right, how do we continue to build up this team so he could try to make a run for another championship? One of the other things that LeBron said after the game was that he was like, this isn't good enough for him. Like, he doesn't play just to be in the conference final. Like, he's done, he believes 60% of his career he has reached at least the conference finals. Isn't that crazy? So for him, you know, that, like, this is not an accomplishment. What he's looking at is winning a championship. Can he? What, like, can he win a championship? I think he's now in a place that he's got to really think about what the future is going to look like. Because the future for him is going to include things that he doesn't want to be part of. He wouldn't want attached to him. The first of it is load management. LeBron James is not going to be able to play 70 games next year. You know that. He hasn't been able to really do that, because that's been a difficult task just because of the injury factor. But when you think about it, it's not necessarily he's not going to play you know, a 70 plus game season because, well, he's going to get injured, or like it's going to, they're going to have to manage it. You got to think the last couple of years, he hasn't played over 70 games since 2018. He hasn't played over 60 games since 2020. Like, it has been a long time. So you already know that to manage him and not have an injury that'll cost him time, is he's going to probably have to make those decisions to not play. So LeBron James, looking at the future, where it includes not playing games, sitting out games, which he hates, and then on top of it, relying on Anthony Davis, can you rely on him? And then, have you seen this? So Kyrie Irving was at the game last night again, sitting front and center, making sure everybody can see him. Is that something that now, when you look at a player like him who could be available, the Lakers go that route? They have talked to each other. They have talked publicly about reuniting. Like, is this what we're going to do? Is this the way LeBron James should go out? As I said, he looks old. It doesn't mean he sucks, but it's not the same that he used to be. And LeBron James at this stage, still chasing championships by tearing up rosters and trying to build another super team, there's got to be a more dignified way to go out. Because if you add Kyrie Irving to that circus with AD, that I don't know what you're getting out of Anthony Davis. Like, that could end up, this was such a good story. It was a young group they put around him. They all worked hard, different stars, different nights. He did it when he needed to. He'd be able to reach down and give you a game. And then, you know, Davis once in a while. But the Kyrie thing, man, I mean, haven't we seen this story before? The cautionary tale is built in. You got Boston. You've got Brooklyn. Now Dallas. You don't think any of them looking at the Lakers like, yeah, you don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. Now, there's other names. I mean, you could go Fred VanVleet. His availability could be there. Toronto's got a lot of decisions to make. He's a clutch client, which is helpful. You know, do they do that? But does that make them a contender? I don't know what to make of this whole story. But I do know this, is that if LeBron does walk away from the game, it's quite unceremonious. Getting swept out of the conference finals and him just deciding, I've done enough. I can't turn the engine back on again. I get it, but to see him walk away like that is sort of subdued compared to what he's done throughout. Remember, this is a guy that had a decision, a show, to decide where he was going as a free agent for the first time in his career. A show. So don't we think that if LeBron was ever in his mind like, yeah, I'm ready to retire, wouldn't it be more of a show? You know, I joked about it being The Last Dance, but what we realized is that they actually, The Last Dance production crew was actually following him around in the playoffs. So from the very beginning of the playoffs, when I was watching, like in the Grizzlies series, and I was watching that whole thing unfold and, Dylan Brooks calling him old, just the trash talking that was going on. And I was on Get Up and I said, are we sort of live watching the LeBron's Last Dance docuseries? Like, we're live watching it. Instead of waiting for them to put it all together, we're watching it live. Like, is that what we're doing? And so then we get to the next series and, okay, so he overcomes Grizzlies and them calling him old and all that stuff. Then he goes against the Warriors, Steph Curry, and that the hurdle to get over Steph Curry, who's been in his way many times throughout his career. And then he gets past them. So now it's really building. Now Western Conference Finals. Boy, if he could beat the number one team now in the West to get to the finals, what another great episode that would be. The drama behind that. But it never materialized. So the ending for this docuseries was not the same. It didn't have a great ending. So you got to feel like, as much as you could see, if LeBron just decides, you know what, I'm done. I don't want to do a whole season, a whole year, a whole year, and then try to climb the four series mountain to win another championship? And what if you don't? Then what? So if that's the case, if he's at that place now where he's like, I'm done, it would be such an anticlimactic way for him to leave, wouldn't it? It would be so not LeBron to turn his retirement into something so modest and so understated when nothing about his career has been modest or understated. Nothing. Everything he's done has been a spectacle. It's who he is. So you got to feel like he's coming back. And the reason why you believe he's coming back is not necessarily because of the deep-seated belief he can win a championship, which I just think he's driven by that. But I really think instead of it being about the pursuit of a championship, this will be about a farewell tour. This is what he'll look for, the farewell tour. He'll want those stops. His last game in Cleveland. There won't be a dry eye in the house, right? The video montage will play. All the stuff that'll go on there. Dan Gilbert, the owner, might even come out and honor him in some way, even though the two of them have had issues, right? That will be unbelievable. You know, in Boston, where, you know, again, big rival. He's had, you know, had to face Goliath there a couple of times. That building, calling him out. That famous moment when they eliminated him in 2010, he tore off the jersey and tossed it on the ground. Like that in Miami, where he finally won his first championships. Imagine that. Dwayne Wade will be in the house. Pat Riley might even crack a smile. Like, you'll get that. Eric Spoelstra. And then, of course, New York. Come to the Garden, give him a rocking chair, you know, make some jokes about how it was his favorite building and, you know, all that stuff. And just each stop will have something special. Kareem, for those who are old enough to remember, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did this. Kareem had his farewell tour. Of course, the famous line from Forget Paris is Billy Crystal, who played a referee, an NBA referee. It had nothing to do with but it was like sort of led to his breakdown in the movie. But he was reffing a game, and he was throwing Kareem out of the game. And Kareem's famous line is, "But this is my farewell tour." And Billy Crystal's probably, "Let me be the first to say farewell," as he kicks him out of the game. There's that, like, you know, the rocking chairs and all the different things. Like, that feels more like the LeBron send-off. And then, at the end of the season, you know, you go into the playoffs, you give it a little try, and then once he loses, it's the adulation, it's the applause, and then he just walks away and ends it right there. Like, that feels more like the way LeBron James would go out. But who knows? Maybe last night is the last time we'll see LeBron James play. And if it is, he didn't embarrass himself. He had an unbelievable first half. For a guy his age, he showed you he could still do it. But in the second half, he showed you he can only do it for about 20 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Today, we spent pretty much the whole show talking about LeBron last night hinting to the idea of retiring. And Brian Windhorst wasn't buying it. Like, he feels like, yeah, he's probably feeling like that, but nothing about their plans going forward suggests that he's ready to walk away. And Monica doesn't believe it either. Zach Lowe is downplaying it. And I'm like, damn, I got to be that guy? Like, there's always that, like, these shows, you need one guy. And so I had to be that guy. And instead of it being about LeBron, I'm like, you know what? LeBron goes for 31 in the first half, and you're Anthony Davis, and you're not, all right, I got it from here. Like, Anthony Davis has got to be the most disappointing great player in the league. Give me another guy that's as disappointing as him. And look, I'm not talking about stuff, because Kyrie obviously probably corners the market on disappointing, but it's not with basketball. Like, Anthony Davis, you look at him, you're like, dude, the numbers tell me you're great. I know he gets you 20 and 14 in a blink of an eye. And then they're telling me how great of a defender he is. Such a great place. Great defense, though. Now he's Ben Wallace. Come on, man. Like, I'm so, guy gives you 31. He's 38 years old. He's exhausted. Bron, I got it from here. And you go out there and you just kick the crap out of Jokic for a minute. Something, anything. Give me something. Anthony Davis is one of these guys that went to Hollywood and went Hollywood. I mean, that's what you see. Where is this dude when you need him most? And I'm talking about, like, physically when you need him most. Because grabbing rebounds because you're 7 feet tall, blocking shots because you got long arms, and you're able to play a rover, because that's what they got him doing. He's playing free safety. Like, I'm not saying it's easy, but for him it is. What I want to see is Anthony Davis do stuff that's not easy. Where's that Anthony Davis? Where's that supposed great player? The guy that LeBron wanted to come, bring you to L.A. to help him win championships. And all it's doing is feeding what I have said about the bubble. That was the ideal environment for Anthony Davis to win a championship, because he didn't have to travel. There was nothing demanding on him physically at all. He just had to play ball, like an AAU tournament, like Summer League. For him, that's what it was. Yes, everybody had the same environment. Everybody had the same stuff. I get it. And maybe some people struggle with the fact that you were in a bubble, and so some mental stuff was going on with some guys. They felt lonely. They felt isolated. Whatever it is, I understand all that. So it's a different thing than playing like they're playing now, which is traveling around, playing best of sevens like this. And you play here, you play in this arena, you got crowds, you've got media. There's a lot different. But that's what I mean about Anthony Davis. You understand that we have talked this whole playoffs about, wow, he had a 40-point game in game one. Can you get another one out of him? What do you mean, can you? Aren't you supposed to? Like, a guy at 30, he's not 40. So when you saw LeBron do what he did in the first half last night, how are you not looking at Anthony Davis like, yeah, all right, so you're going to take it from here now? I got it, Bron, I got it. Instead, he barely, come on, man. The impact he had on this game offensively was minimal. It was an elimination game. Elimination game. So I'd have a lot of questions about him. A lot of questions about him. How much is he committed to winning? How much is he committed to getting his body right? Because he doesn't move well. He doesn't look like he's always in the best shape. And game to game, we're always wondering about him physically. So the LeBron stuff, if he wants to retire, God bless him. But Anthony Davis? Like, if he wants to come back, do you really believe Anthony Davis is going to be a guy that night in and night out is going to take it from here? I got it from here, Bron. Like, you don't have to give 110% anymore. But you have to, because this guy, you don't know what you're getting. 800-919-3776. Let's get some calls in here. Rick in Long Island. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Let me say this. I think I would take all the money I possibly could, even mortgage my household, and bet that LeBron is coming back. Because he wants that tour. He wants all the love. He wants to be at the Garden and have everybody from Beyonce to Cookie Monster sitting on the sideline, you know, on the side of the court, showing love where that's concerned. And as far as AD, I mean, like, LeBron, he put everything he had into that game. And I'm not the biggest LeBron guy, because, like, I'm more of a Jordan. I love me some Kobe, okay? But the thing with LeBron, the one thing you got to say, through the years, it was never an arrest thing, getting arrested with him, getting out there, you know, in terms of drugs, anything else like that. He's done a lot of stuff for community and everything else where that's concerned. And I felt sorry for him, because there was one play when in the fourth, when the ball is moving and he's just standing at the top of the key. He didn't do anything. I mean, he was just standing there. I think he was really gassed. And as far as the center goes, listen, let me put it to you like this. If you give me 7 feet tall, I'm going to get a rebound. I will get a rebound, and I will block a shot. Okay, he wet the bed without a pamper on. So that's as far as I'm concerned, Anthony Davis. Thanks a lot for taking the call. I really appreciate you.
Okay. You got it, Rick. Yeah, that last part was a visual I didn't need. But, I mean, look. I just feel like when you play with somebody of that level, and that's the effort you get. Like, come on, like, I'm sorry, halftime. How are you not looking at this man like, yo, you just emptied the tank. I got it from here. I'm gonna get us to a game 5. I'm not letting you go out like this on your home floor. I'm not letting it happen. Like that. That's all we're saying. I mean, they're all pushing back on me on Get Up about it. Like, and actually, Swaggoo was part of this conversation. Marcus Spears and Swaggoo was doing the same thing. He's like, I need more from you. And they're like, how much more does he got to give? He played defense. He played great defense. I know he played. Did he play great defense? Because I know they didn't win a damn game. So what was it? Where was the great defense? They didn't win a damn game. Yes, the Nuggets are a good team. Yes. But still, the guy just unloaded 31 points at the half, trying to survive, trying to live another day this season. And you didn't do anything about it in the second half? Nothing? Earl in Brooklyn, Earl.
Hey, Han, how you doing?
All right.
Kyrie, when you say that LeBron needs the guy to say, I got it from here in the second half, when Cleveland beat Golden State, what did Kyrie do in the second half to close out that game?
He hit the biggest shot.
I got you from here. So with them two guys reunited, it could be a plus. We know we have off-the-court bullcrap with Kyrie, but when we get on the court, he's about his business.
The only problem, Earl, I've never denied that. My only problem, Earl, about what you just said is that when he's on the court, he's about business. In the last couple of years, he's been off the court more than he's been on it for various reasons that aren't just injury. And that you can't discount that at this point. You can't. It's not like this was just 1 year in passing. This has been a couple of years now where that's been the problem. Is when he's on the court, right? Like when he and KD played together, this was their record. The problem is, you barely played together. So that's all I'm saying in the case of the Lakers. If you're going short term, trying to catch lightning in a bottle, which I thought this year was, and you're thinking, all right, so LeBron just put it out there that retirement's in the back of his mind. You're going to now go with Kyrie Irving, and you're going to say, we're going to go for it. But what happens? What happens if after 1 year LeBron now walks and you gave Kyrie, 3 years? I mean, how many years? Now you're living with that going forward. Just buyer beware is all I'm saying on that one. Will in East Orange. Will.
What's going on, Solo?
How you doing?
I just wanted to get my take on Anthony Davis. I believe it was in the third quarter last night. He let Jokic get 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
And to me, that just says enough right there. And my other take is you and Bart are Jokic and Murray.
I appreciate it. And I'm missing. Would he be Murray, right? Is that how that works? I'm more Jokic, like kind of goofy looking. Just kind of gets the job done, not really too flashy. But I'm missing Murray today. I'm a little tired. I got to admit that. Steven in Hackensack. Steven.
Yo, Alan Hahn, man, what's up?
Is it Stefan? My bad.
It's Stefan.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that.
You're like Marbury.
Right, Stefan. My bad. How you doing?
Yo, I'm doing good, man. I want to talk to you today about Carmelo and getting his jersey retired in the Garden.
I heard the guys.
They definitely do.
The guys on the K show brought that up, and I know, I think, was it Don and Peter that believed that they should put 7 up in the rafters?
They definitely should.
All right, give me your case of why. What's your case of why?
All right, listen. For years, other opposing players came into the Garden and made their playground. Mike with the 55, Kobe with the 61. Ron came in there with the 50-point triple-double. When Melo dropped that 62 against the Bobcats, it restored the feeling in the city. It let us know that a Nick held that record. And for a Nick to hold that record for the most points scored in the Garden, man, he needs to jersey retired just off of that alone.
Just for scoring 62 in a game against the Charlotte Bobcats in January?
Yep.
I hear you, Stephon.
Hey, listen.
There's no one
I'm a big... That's one of the best moments we've had.
Yeah. Oh, look, like I said, I've said this many times. Melo is one of my favorite players I ever covered. He's one of the best players I ever covered. He had a terrific Knicks career. He's seventh all-time in scoring. There's a lot of things that I all the accolades you could say about him in his Knicks career, right? And as I mentioned, those 3 years that they made the playoffs, and I know it's only three, but as I said, beggars can't be choosers. The last 23 seasons, you understand, that's the only time they made the playoffs, three straight years. And he was part of that. So do you acknowledge that he brought something in this era that you hadn't had in a long time and you want to celebrate that? I say yes. You celebrate that by Ring of Honor stuff, like by Knicks legend status or Hall of Fame, whatever it is, that's what you do. But, I mean, the number in the rafters is a very sacred thing. And when you look at the names and numbers up there, I mean, Patrick Ewing's the only one that didn't win a championship. Dick McGuire was part of the franchise as a player, but also as an executive when they won their championships. He was a great player. And then, of course, there's all the guys that are on the championship-era teams. Yeah, that's it. And Patrick earned it. 15 years, two finals, like all the great things that he did. He earned it. It's a long time. I just don't know. If you put 7 there, I think you got to put 30 there. If you're putting 7, you got to put 30. I just don't know, does this franchise do it? Would I be against it? No. If they decided to do it, and I believe the owner really loves them. So if they decide to do it, do it. Great. But if they do it, I think you got to put 30 up there. Not, of course, not Julius Randle, but Bernard King. If that's what we're doing, and we celebrate Bernard King all the time. He's there all the time. Once a Nick, always a Nick. Put 30 up there then for Bernard, if you're going to put 7 up there. And those two are always going to be linked as well.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
As we begin our show, Diana Rossini, who's at OTAs with the Jets today, we had pictures and video of Aaron Rodgers warming up and dancing around and all this great stuff. And then all of a sudden it was Aaron Rodgers is off to the side, favoring his ankle, checking it. Something clearly not right. So we start with that. We just start with that little part and we're all...
No!
No! No!
Right? We don't want that. Then comes information from the reporters there that tell us that Alan Lazard went down and was not getting up. And Rossini said that he left the field with a trainer and has not returned.
It is my professional opinion that now is the time to panic.
We suck.
Like, this is what's going on now. So Lazard did walk off the field. But, like, should we just wrap it up? Like, how about we just, like, should we just get to that point now where, like, Robert Saleh is looking around him and everybody else is just standing there and you're just realizing that it's time now. Like, I think we've done enough. It's time for us to all just go home. Like, close this thing down and send everybody home. Because what good is coming out of this now? Other than, I guess, apparently Zach Wilson might have thrown a nice pass down the sideline. It's no defense. But this is where we are right now. Like, what is the temperature of the Jets fan right now when you hear about Rodgers tweaking his ankle and Lazard goes down and then has to walk off the field with a trainer and has not returned? I mean, damn, can we just get a day in? A day is all we're asking for, man. We didn't even get to training camp yet. We're already dealing with ankles and injuries and limping and training. I don't want to hear from trainers. I don't want to see a trainer. I don't want to know nothing about trainers. Wrap these guys in bubble wrap, and can we just get to September 11th, please? Like, that's where we're at right now, unfortunately. It's maddening, but it's true. So any more updates, we'll let you know. But it just seems more and more disappointing and depressing. The more these days have gone, this day has gone on. It's just been like, no, not another tweet. I don't want to know.
And all this on the heels of, while waiting for the trade, everyone saying, oh, got to get him in, get him into OTAs, get them all in. No, nope, right, there they are. And now look.
Yeah.
Should have held off on the trade.
Right, right. Maybe it was better that he held out all offseason. Can we find a darkness retreat for him as fast as possible?
He's going to go with LeBron. LeBron's going to come out and come to the Knicks.
I was thinking that. If LeBron, like, does he now go into a little darkness retreat and contemplate his future and what he wants to do? Well, you want darkness. Bring Kyrie into your organization. He brings it with him. I still can't believe that's like one of the plans. Hey, you know what we'll do? Let's bring in Kyrie Irving. Because that's worked in other places. Like, is that like Rob Pelinka must be sitting right now in his office just going like, oh, dear God. Like, I just had a great trade deadline. Brought in a bunch of pieces that turned a team that was in 13th place in the West. 13th place. 13th. You realize there was only 15 teams in the conference. And they were in 13th place. And I put a band of dudes together in a couple of trades. Guys you never even heard of. Jared Vanderbilt. Yeah, okay. You don't even know who the hell that is. Admit it. You listening right now. Jared who? Yeah, exactly. He was a key piece. Rui Hachimura. I mean, you know if Bar was here, what he'd be doing with that name. All kinds of stuff that, you know, only Bar could do. Like, these are the kinds of, like, I told you, Austin Reeves, who wasn't a trade piece, but somebody that was on a two-way contract, that suddenly it's like, yo, this guy's pretty good. He's better than the garbage we have. Like, think about it. They signed, they brought in Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley and ended up saying that Austin Reeves was a better option. Say no more. So Rob Pelinka does all that. And now you're going to turn to him and go, hey, Rob, what do you say we give Kyrie like a 3-year guaranteed contract? How do you like that idea? You think that'll work? And Rob's looking like, have you not paid attention to the last like 5 years? You want me to do that? Seriously, if Rob Pelinka announced his resignation at some point this offseason, would you be shocked? Like, how much more can I possibly do? And you want me to do, you want me to bring that guy in? Whew. The Lakers were stable for a minute. They were fun to watch for a minute. I think it's about to get really, really dramatic again in Hollywood. But that's how they want it. That's how they want it. So 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll get back to calls and whatnot. Did you know, though, that I found this interesting? So with the Nuggets winning last night, it's continued a streak that is one of the most ridiculous streaks ever. And, I mean, when you hear it, you're going to laugh. But it's something that we update every year now. So the Nuggets are in the finals. And that means that there have been a former, current, or future Nick in the NBA Finals for 77 straight seasons, going all the way back to the start of the league, 1947. Now, of course, there are some years where the current, future, or former Nick, of course, current Nick, because the Knicks have had, what is it, like six, seven finals appearances in their franchise history. And so this current one that keeps the streak going is DeAndre Jordan. Remember when DeAndre Jordan was a Knick for like 3 weeks after the trade deadline? They were making all those moves, and it was once again clearing out cap space, trying to appeal to Kevin Durant. And DeAndre Jordan, of course, was one of those guys that was a friend of KD. So I was like, oh, let's bring in DeAndre Jordan, and he can help recruit KD. And instead, DeAndre Jordan decided he was going to go to Brooklyn. So DeAndre Jordan keeps that streak going. Can you tell me who last year's player was in the finals that kept the streak going? Last year's final. That's a name that only the most diehard of diehard Knick fans would be able to get. It's a fun list. We'll certainly go through it. Good news, though, Jets fans, from Diana Russini. Alan Lazard back on the field, working on the 7-on-7 drills, and he seems fine now. So, all is well. All is well. I don't know if I could take this. We're going to do a whole show, and I'm going to get injury updates at Jets OTAs, and every little thing is going to freak me out. When normally we would just look at it and say, eh, it's May. It's fine. Does anyone else have the same anxiety that I have going right now when it comes to these injury updates? Driving me crazy.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.